life that I enjoy, quite frankly. Family, my children. Occasions like this, we come together to worship God, being with brethren. But I'm looking forward, more importantly, to the day that we just sung about. When all the pain will be over, there'll be no more worries, no more sorrow, no more heartaches. But a time we can just spend together with God's people eternally, around His throne, singing His praises. Thank you for being here today. And especially for our guests, we are indeed very honored to have you. We appreciate you being with us today. I want to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from verse 3 in just a few minutes. The word adoption is an interesting word. In fact, under Roman law, we are told that a child belonged under the absolute control of his father until his father's death, or until his death. That is, legally. Therefore, adoption was a very serious matter. And according to Roman custom, there would be a symbolic ceremony in which the child was symbolically released from the power and control of the first family so that he could be free to be adopted into his new family. After legal papers were formed or were filed and before the magistrates and civil authorities and matters were considered, finally that child would be adopted into the new family. And once that happened, he was given all legal rights, as if he were a natural born child. All the debts of the past relationship were canceled. All the control of the past father was now given to the control of the new father, the new relationship. And now he could enjoy the privilege of being the heir of this new family and of this new father. Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit would choose the word adoption to describe our relationship with God? Paul uses that word 5 times, sometimes referring to our future inheritance, sometimes referring to our present or current relationship. And we are told that God accomplished this process of adoption by punishing Himself, by giving His own Son upon the cross. At the cross, justice and mercy met. And by the cross of Jesus, we were forgiven, given a new name, given a new hope, given a future. It was as if a condemned orphan has now been given stability, hope, and love, the love of God, being a recipient of God's love. It was as if the judge, we were brought before the court, and the judge acquitted us. And then he came out from behind the bench, and he invited us to come and to be a part of his family, and to enjoy the blessings of his home. Adopted parents understand that. They understand that adoption is a life-changing process for both parent as well as children. A life-changing process. They understand the risks that are involved. That here is a group of parents that are willing to take a child into their home knowing nothing or very little about the genetic makeup of that child. But putting all the risk aside, thinking nothing more than the needs of the child, they're willing to take that child into their own home. That's what God did for us. Without thinking about all the risk, but thinking about only our needs, He was willing to adopt us into His family. I want to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read beginning with verse 3. In verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Consider with me first of all today just what was involved in that process of adoption. First of all, Paul tells us that God adopted us into His family. It involved His love. He says in verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I have a cousin on my dad's side. Her name is Diana. I love Diana dearly. Very, very special lady. She has two children, a son and a daughter, that she adopted. They adopted into their family. After that, a daughter was born to them, to Bob and Diana. But I can tell you, knowing the way in which that family was raised, that you couldn't tell a difference between the two that were adopted and that natural-born child. She has loved and nourished and cared for those two children as if they were truly born to her. That's what God did. God has cherished His love upon us. This is the power of adoption. It was the power of His love. And in the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, Paul has something interesting to say about the love of God. Here we find a prayer, a recorded prayer of Paul. And beginning in the 17th verse, the beginning in the middle of that prayer, Paul says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He says, I pray that you might be able to internalize that love, that you might be able to fully understand and grasp the dimensions of God's love, of how much God has truly loved you. God loved us enough. He cared for us. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, humble yourself therefore into the mighty hand of God. Why? Because He truly cares for you. God loved us enough that He was willing to adopt us into His own family. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6 that it was according to His good pleasure that He did this. This is the very essence of His love, that we would become the very objects of His divine and caring love. And what did He get? He got an inheritance. You and I are that inheritance. He got a condemned orphan, without hope, without future. And He was willing to come from behind the bench, acquit us first of all for the transgression, then come from behind the bench and to put His arm around us and say, welcome to my family, welcome to the family of God. Overlooking all the faults and all the blemishes, He accepted us into His own family. Why? For only one reason. Not because we deserved it, but because He loved us. Furthermore, we find that Paul said that this involved a choice in behalf of God. Again in verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God chose us. Adoptive children, adoptive parents choose their children. This pleased the Father. He picked us out. He selected us. I understand that this was not an unconditional selection or unconditional election. In fact, the writer says that He chose us in Him. And again in verse 7, in Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And again in verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. You see, God's chosen servant was His Son Jesus. And we have been chosen in Christ, are chosen in Him. Unconditionally? No. In fact, the writer tells us that we had a choice in this matter. If you look in verse 12 and 13, first of all, he uses a couple of pronouns there, the word we and you. The we meaning Jewish Christians and the you meaning the Gentile Christians that he was addressing primarily in this letter. And he says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you whom having also believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we had a choice. That is, God had a foreordained plan to save those who trusted in Jesus. Paul puts it like this in the Galatian letter. In Galatians chapter 3 in verses 26 and 27, he says, you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You have become the sons of God because of your faith in Him. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We had a choice. But God had a predetermined plan to save those and to adopt those who would trust in His Son. But one of the great joys and consolation is that we know that having chose Jesus, that we have been chosen by God. It was not an afterthought. God has been thinking about this for a long, long time. In fact, we also find that Paul tells us what his goal was in adopting us. Again in verse 4, he says that just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should, note it, be holy and without blame before Him in love. God wanted His children to be distinguished from others. We are the children of God, with holy and without blame before Him. Actually, perhaps the writer has a couple of things in mind. First of all, that in our lives, we are to live holy lives. We are called upon to live that kind of life. Look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning with the 13th verse, where Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. First of all, God adopted us into this family so that we could be a declaration of God's moral virtue. That we might live before the world holy lives. That we might be an example to the world of our Heavenly Father. However, God also understands that in that walk we're not perfect. And therefore this was accomplished primarily through the blood of Jesus. That the time is coming in which the Father will present, or that Jesus will present us before the Father as holy and without blame. Notice in the book of Colossians chapter 1 what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. There was a time in which you were alienated and separated from God. Because of your wickedness and because of your unrighteousness. Yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. For what reason? That he might present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Under what condition? If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This was accomplished primarily because of the death of Jesus. It was God's goal that we might be before Him holy and without blame. And this was not an afterthought of God. Again in verse 4 He says, He chose us before the foundation of the world. And again in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. And again in verse 11, He says, In Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. By the providence of God, through the ages, even before the foundation of the world, it was God's purpose to have a people in His Son Jesus. People that go through the adoptive process understand that it is a long, sometimes very tiring, sometimes discouraging process. A lot of planning involved, paperwork to be filed. Well, God made plans before the foundation of the world. And isn't it a joy to know that the very focal point of all the things that He was doing in this universe was one man, Jesus, His own Son. And the very focal point of all that God was doing in this universe was that those who were willing to walk within the boundaries, those who are willing to make Jesus their Lord and Master, those who are willing to trust Him and to follow Him and obey Him can now be adopted into His family to be a child of God. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. It involved God's sacrifice, Paul tells us. In verse 7, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You see, God had a choice to make. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made the supreme sacrifice in that the one who was our judge was also the one who died on the cross so that we could be acquitted. God made the sacrifice. It cost Him His own Son. So what's in it for me? I know that sounds a little selfish. But Paul does tell us where this adoption leads. Number one, this adoption leads to salvation. It leads to redemption. It means that all the debts are canceled. Again in verse 7, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That all the previous debts are canceled, the slate is clean. Do you really understand the meaning of that? Sometimes I wonder if we really grasp the understanding of that. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I want you to notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. I want to begin with verse 12. Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, he says, we are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Paul says in that context that we are debtors. The more we appreciate what God has done for us, the more sacrificially we ought to be willing to live for Him. To give up those old fleshly things. To put away that old man. To take care of the worldly things that are hiding in the closet. To crucify them and to put them to death. And to live sacrificially for the Father who was willing to give His own Son that I might be called His child. What does He give us? What's in it for me? Where does adoption lead? It leads to a sense of belonging. Now I'm a part of the family of God. He says in the sixth verse, to the praise of His glory by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. One of the greatest of human needs is the need of acceptance. The need of security. The need of stability. The need of belonging. You know, I don't know about you, but I thought a lot, you know, about the current economic climate. I listened to all the financial gurus, you know, all the guys that tell you where you can put your money and invest your money, thinking in terms of security. Where is my money really secure? Is it in a local bank, a federal credit union? Is it in a treasury bill, a government security, or is it in a stock or bond? And what I've come to the conclusion is, it isn't secure anywhere. The reality is, you can't trust man. But you know, it really doesn't matter. Because you know what Jesus said? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. God will take care of us if we put the kingdom first. I know that. God drove the spikes into the hands of His own Son and feet to offer us acceptance, to offer us peace. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious in nothing, but in everything by supplication and prayer let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Look in Psalm 37. 37th Psalm. Notice what Psalmist says in 37th Psalm. Psalm 37, beginning with verse 1. He says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Where is the confidence of this psalm? It is in the faithfulness of God. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will bring it to pass. It will bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only comes to harm. For evildoers will be cut down, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you look carefully for his place, but it will be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's what God gave me. He gave me security and peace, a sense of belonging. God gave me a spirit of thanksgiving. It's interesting that Paul begins in Ephesians 1 and 3 with this great ascription of praise. The Greek word is eulogia. It means to speak well of. The translation is blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Sometimes I wonder if we really appreciate it. What is your attitude about all of this? Oh, well, you know, I had a little trouble getting up on Sunday morning to get out to worship. Well, you know, I had a little thing to distract us. You know, we went on a camping trip. Oh, you know, well, I was out golfing or fishing or hunting or whatever it is. I just didn't have time that day to worship God. No, every Lord's Day, every first day of the week, it ought to be the focus and desire of us to be here. Why? Because as he begins, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with all of these spiritual blessings out of joy and appreciation for all that God has done to us because he loved us enough to adopt us into his own family." This is what he wanted to do. He wants children in his son Jesus. But we have a choice. We can say yes or no. He gives us that choice. A decision between life or death. Between bondage or hope or freedom. God gave us a choice. And God gives you a choice today as to what you will do with your life and your soul. Maybe there's someone here today who wants to become a child of God. By faith, you are the sons of God, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Paul said. Maybe there's someone here today who wishes to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to become a part of his family. If that be your need, we would certainly welcome that opportunity to assist you, and we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song collective.